Hello, and welcome to Every 11 Minutes, a SpongeBob SquarePants podcast. I am Tyler Pittis, and with me is my co-host,
Quadri Fletcher. I don't know why I said that like that.
Oh, man. We are tackling episode 4 today of SpongeBob Season 1, Naughty Nautical Neighbors and Boating School. Before we get into that, Quadri, how you been?
I've been fine. I've been fine. Just fine. How are you?
Also fine is what I would say. just fine.
Just a lot of sitting around the house still.
Yeah. Yeah. Not much has changed, really.
No, it's very sad.
Yeah.
You know it's not sad, though? These episodes.
Yes. Yes. Are... They spark joy.
They... I've never seen an episode of that Marie Kondo
show. Oh, neither have I. Yeah, no.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know what I do appreciate that you brought up that I don't think I've explored anymore? The one day you brought up that you watched Nailed It.
Oh, yes.
Which is a fantastic show.
It absolutely is. I actually haven't finished season 3 yet. Or whatever the new one is.
I think it's 4.
Oh, it's 4? Yeah, I haven't finished that one yet. But yeah, that what a fantastic show.
Yeah, I don't know. Cooking shows to me can be kind of boring sometimes. Like, I need kind of a twist, and I appreciate when the twist is that the contestants are supposed to be bad.
Yeah, well, and Nicole Byers, right? Byer is hilarious. I mean, she's so funny.
She's very funny.
Yeah.
And Jacques.
Yes.
Is very French.
Yes. Nicole Byer also has a podcast. I forget what it's called, but
yeah. I think she has 2 podcasts, oddly enough. I think
so. Okay. There you go.
I'm sure you can just Google her and find it. Yeah, but she's really funny.
You have the internet, otherwise you wouldn't be listening to this.
Exactly. Okay, so like you said, we're talking about Naughty Nautical Neighbors and Boating School. IMDb says, tired of his annoying neighbors, Squidward turns SpongeBob and Patrick against each other. That is what happens.
Yes, that is accurate.
That's, that checks out.
Yeah, a very, very creative concept to start with the bubbles and you know.
Oh, yeah. So, this episode originally aired August 7th, 1999, written by Sherm Cohen, Aaron Springer, and Mr. Lawrence, Doug Lawrence, of course.
Plankton. Yes.
This is my chance. This is my first chance, I believe, to share my Aaron Springer story, which is not that interesting, but I do have an Aaron Springer story. So when I was in fourth grade... I knew this kid named Ethan Springer, and fourth grade was a weird year where I went to a private school with like a bunch of rich people. And so I just got to go to all these like cool kids' houses and do like very cool things for 1 year. But anyway, I knew this kid named Ethan Springer, and he always used to say that his uncle was Aaron Springer, who was a writer-producer on SpongeBob. And so this was just like a thing that I went on thinking. And then I never kept up with this kid after fourth grade. Fast forward to like, fast forward to, I don't know, a couple years ago. And I was friends with him on Snapchat. I still am friends with him on Snapchat. And randomly I just messaged him one night. And I was like, hey, that Aaron Springer thing, like, how's your uncle? And he was like, oh, that was the thing I told kids in.
Oh, really?
Yes, in elementary school.
That's lame.
It's very lame. So, that's my Aaron Springer story. But for, like, years, I thought that I knew the nephew of a guy who worked on SpongeBob.
Wow. Yeah, and like that's such a thing. Like, why would you make that up? Like, there's plenty of famous people named Springer that you could like supplement that with.
Exactly.
You know,
Jerry.
George
Springer. Yes. Yeah. So that was fucked up, but it's all right. Anyway, so the
say, we should get him on the podcast, but
I know.
But then it's a tragic story.
Just like everything. So the episode starts out with Squidward making this this souffle, and I have questions already just about what this is, but I do want to take note of his Kiss the Squid apron.
Yes.
Which is something that, I don't know, I feel like that he would find that annoying if somebody else were wearing it.
Yeah.
Because I feel like he would think it's tacky.
Yes. Yeah. And yet, and that's kind of, you know, who he is, right? He's like always being a hypocrite of like, you know, people are he's annoyed at people for making noise, and yet he blasts clarinet music through his window all the time, and you know.
Exactly. I failed to mention, I don't know if you can hear it, there's very loud like firework or whatever noises happening nearby.
Oh.
So if you can hear
them, I heard it,
but... just ignore it.
Yikes. Are you sure they're fireworks or
sure. Yep. Yeah, exactly. So anyway, he takes a shower. This is kind of funny because he like runs to go take a shower, and the cloud from the shower, there's like that gag where it goes across the screen and is like raining in his living room. Anyway, but he goes to eat this disgusting looking souffle, or this weird spongy thing, and sponge, and he Patrick and SpongeBob are outside laughing, which is distracting him from eating, I guess. And so he opens his window. Remember when we talked about the window at SpongeBob's place that kind of doesn't really come back? Or the garage. It was the garage that doesn't come back.
Yeah.
This is kind of the window that we don't see often.
Yeah. Just like randomly in his backyard.
Exactly. So he opens the window. SpongeBob and Patrick are blowing bubbles, but they are whispering messages into them.
Yeah. And you know what's funny is this week I saw I don't remember if it was like a very old tweet from the SpongeBob account, but it said like, my face when I realized that we never see SpongeBob's backyard. And then someone tweeted back, actually, episode 4 of season 1, Naughty Nautical Neighbors, you should probably delete your account. I was like, oh, that's what week we're on.
that's actually so funny.
Yeah.
It's meant to be.
Yeah.
Anyway, so Squidward, this is why I have questions about the souffle. So when Squidward gets like annoyed by the fact that they are laughing and whispering messages to each other, he takes the juice or whatever from the souffle and pours it into a cup and starts blowing bubbles with it.
And yeah, this weird like pink liquid.
Exactly.
That, who knows what that actually is.
And the souffle is actually, it looks like a carrot cake or something. It's like brown and it has I don't know what that is, but he begins to like whisper angry messages into these bubbles, and the first one is he calls Patrick. He says he's the dumbest.
Patrick, you are the dumbest idiot it has ever been my misfortune to know.
So there's a back and forth where Squidward is trading insults, basically,
right,
pretending to be both SpongeBob and Patrick.
And
they both get mad at each other and separate. And they're in a fight. Oh, I failed to mention, though. So Squidward comes out of his house and he like watches the fight happening between them before they both storm back into their houses. And
he's eating this giant souffle all by himself.
In a lawn chair.
Yes, as we all do.
Exactly. So once they storm back into the house, he starts laughing uncontrollably, and he has the fork in his mouth, which then slips into his throat. And in like one of the more physically uncomfortable moments on SpongeBob, there are like a couple of things on SpongeBob that kind of make me cringe just visually. This is one of them, and then one of the other one that really that comes to mind is outside of the first 3 seasons. So we won't discuss it. But okay. I mean, we won't discuss it the episode, but the moment is when SpongeBob gets that splinter.
Yes. Oh my lord. Absolutely. Yes.
And at the end of the episode, it like I hate it.
Oh, let's not talk about it. Yeah, and like pimple liquid spews everywhere. Yeah, no. Yeah.
That's what. So this moment with the fork that is very stuck in Squidward's throat also makes me cringe. Yeah. But Patrick,
because it's like horizontal. Yes. Like it's like you can, and that just like. It makes you feel like you shouldn't have a neck.
And also the like the sound design during that scene. There's like a boing where the fork is bouncing up and down. That it's really something special. Anyway, but Patrick decides to, he hears Squidward choking and he runs out of his rock and this is funny. He like blows air and he like is giving him mouth to mouth and he blows all this air into Squidward and inflates him. And then when he deflates, he spits out the fork.
Yes. Great line alert, by the way. The right before he does this, he says, "I know what I have to do, but I should wash my hands first." So funny.
Which, just,
even funnier out of context, I think, that line. But it's so funny in during the episode.
And even funnier during a pandemic.
Yes. Exactly.
Squidward's really grateful because he didn't die. Also, I feel like we should have a count on the show. I think Squidward is like the character who is put in near-death situations.
Oh, undoubtedly.
The most frequently. But he says, "Oh, wow, Patrick, you saved me." And Patrick says, "I did." And Squidward calls him a lifesaver and shakes his unwashed hands. And then he says, "You're a real lifesaver friend." And then Patrick... in the creepiest,
very uncomfortably
says "friend," and there's this really funny moment where Squidward like kind of sidesteps away from him and he says, "Just friends."
Yeah, Patrick, we're friends, just friends.
Yes, yeah, super creepy, very uncomfortable moment, like. Again, a thing that a child would not recognize, but we're like, you know, what is Patrick thinking in this moment?
Patrick invites himself into Squidward's place, where Squidward is going to play the clarinet, and SpongeBob sees this, and there's a really funny kind of meme that comes out of like this moment. There's the meme of Patrick and Squidward where they're like embracing, holding hands. And then there's SpongeBob looking out of his window. And that's like the quickest cutaway. That shot is so quick, but it's really funny. If you look at it, SpongeBob looks like a blob.
Yeah. Right. And it's like they totally redrew him. Like because his pupils are super small and
So anyway, Patrick ends up in Squidward's house and Squidward's playing his clarinet, which puts Patrick to sleep. And when Squidward's dragging Patrick out of the house as he's sleeping, he throws out his back, and then SpongeBob runs toward him to save him. And I thought this was so funny, and I don't know why, but when Squidward was like begging for SpongeBob not to jump on his back, it was like just the funniest thing. Anyway, he actually does not injure him. He throws his back into place. And yeah. Squidward hasn't learned his lesson yet because he calls SpongeBob a friend.
Yeah, and that part is especially funny because squids are invertebrates, so they don't have a spine. So just a little bit of, you know, marine biology humor there.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So once again, deja vu. This time SpongeBob's inside of Squidward's house. When SpongeBob tells him about Patrick falling asleep earlier, SpongeBob says that he would never do that and that he has played the bassinet for years, and he pulls out this which is
made me laugh so much. Again, something I did not understand as a kid.
Like, right.
To me, what is a bassinet? But, you know, that is so funny.
So SpongeBob starts playing and the bow like flies into, well, first of all, he's like not playing well at yes. all. But then the bow flies into one of Squidward's portraits.
Yes, of course. His portraits are always getting destroyed. This dude must be painting portraits nonstop at the rate those are destroyed throughout the series.
And it's also a really funny visual gag because the portrait is of Squidward like screaming. And right. then when they cut to it, it's like when they cut to the bow, the shot of the bow going into the painting in Squidward's forehead, it's like a close-up shot. So it kind of tricks right. you into thinking that it's going into Squidward's head.
Right, yeah, yeah.
Anyway, Patrick somehow winds up, like, his head is in the window, and he's, mm-hmm. he begins talking to both of them, so then SpongeBob destroys
the bassinet.
Squidward is my best friend in the world. Squidward is my best friend in the sea. Squidward
likes Patrick more than SpongeBob.
And Patrick is a dirty, stinky, rotten friend. See you, Art. I can fix this.
I also wanted to make note of this. I don't know why Squidward does not put up a fight for letting these two in his house.
Yes. I was thinking the same thing. Like, a person helps you once after years of annoyance, and you're just not suddenly like, oh, you're my best friend. Like, he legitimately, like, wants them inside. Like, when Patrick, especially Patrick, when he saves him, he's, like, completely, like, reborn. Like, he's like, oh my god, yes, absolutely, Patrick, come in. But, like, Patrick should still be annoying to Squidward, even though, you know, he just exactly. saved his life.
Literally.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
So anyway, Squidward's kind of fed up with this, and he decides to invite both of them to a dinner party without telling either one of them, which is like a classic sitcom trope.
Yes, yes.
They both arrive there, and they're mad at each other, but Squidward has this soda, which I don't know where Squidward shops at or what he...
Yeah.
But it's like this seltzer soda or whatever.
Yeah.
That he keeps...
like clowns use.
Yeah.
Like, you know, they used yes. to use on, like, that Toontown game.
It literally is that. He keeps giving them, there's the exchange where SpongeBob keeps putting his cup over Patrick's when yeah. Squidward was trying to give them soda, which is kind of funny. There are just, like, a bunch of funny bits throughout this segment that I really thought were working well for me. I kind of was, I found myself really cracking up at how stupid a lot of it was. Because last week, when we were talking about, was it Plankton or... I forget which segment or episode it was, but I was talking about how it was really well written and, like, the mm-hmm. writing was so sharp.
Plankton,
yeah. It was. And so, yeah. But this week I feel like it's kind of the opposite, where it's very slapsticky. And not like the writing is bad, but it's not like focusing on being clever, or it's really like slapsticky, but it's still funny. Yeah. Anyway, Squidward runs out of soda and decides to go to the store to get some more. And this is when SpongeBob and Patrick are left alone, and they both start like burping. Or they're like hiccuping bubbles, which fill Squidward's house and cause it to explode. Once again, bubbles have ruined Squidward's day.
A common theme.
And then when he comes back, he hears this loud explosion, and he says, there's a really funny line reading where he says, I should just walk away right now.
I should just walk away right now.
Yeah, he breaks the fourth wall, right? Like, that's, he looks directly into the camera. Yeah.
like it's The Office.
Hilarious. Yeah, exactly.
So he opens the door, which is like the only thing still intact in the house, and everything's been destroyed. And he tells them to, SpongeBob says that they're friends again. He and Patrick are friends again. And after Squidward kicks them out, he slams the door, and then a bubble hits the door. And it falls over, throwing out Squidward's back.
Yes. Which is the second of seven segments that we've covered so far, that Squidward's injury is what ends it.
Yeah. I thought this was so funny. I really did. It's just like, it was just so stupid.
Yeah.
Which is what I really enjoyed about it.
Yeah, it definitely had its moments for sure. Like the bassinet. I mean, that actually made me crack up out loud. That was so funny.
So it's time for some Spongepedia trivia. Let's see. This is the first episode in which SpongeBob and Patrick fight. Yeah.
Okay.
right. Exactly. the episode's title card music is joined with that of the Help Wanted of the episode Help Wanted. What does this say? The episodes. First of all, I have to say I did read these before, and I just I glanced over this and just didn't think anything of it. But I have no idea what this is trying to say. The episode's title card music is joined with that of the episode Help Wanted in the beginning of the episode The Smoking Peanut. I guess they mix the songs together?
Right, yeah, that must be it.
Sure. Yeah. Well, that's cool.
Interesting.
We'll have to look out for that.
Yeah.
I'll play.
Is that a first three episode? I don't know what The Smoking Peanut is.
The Smoking Peanut is, it is the first three seasons. It's the episode where they go to the circus and SpongeBob is accused of throwing the peanut at the clam.
Yes, wow, I haven't seen that one in ages. Wow.
It's a really funny episode, too.
Yeah.
So, actually, it is season two, so we will see it soon.
Not really.
Not that soon, but sometime soon.
Yeah.
Sooner than later.
Yes.
There's a chapter book to tie in with this episode. Didn't do any more research, so I don't have any. I don't know. when SpongeBob plays the bassinet, he asks for an A. Squidward actually plays a B flat on his clarinet. For clarinet players, this is a C.
Ugh. Despicable.
Can you verify that as a C?
Well, yes. See, clarinets are B flat instruments.
Okay.
Which is information that is still stored in my head. So when you play a B flat on a clarinet, it's like a C to like a piano or like most instruments are C instruments. So they use middle C as like the.
Gotcha.
You know,
but I took this past semester, I took a class called Music Theory for Non-Music Majors. So I had to learn. I hated it. And I had to learn a lot of this crap. And it all is absolutely gone.
Yeah. Well, when it's drilled into your mind for 8 years of playing or whatever, it you know.
The title card this episode or this for the segment is similar to that of the episode Summer Job. It's a season 7 episode. We're not going to watch it. But I did look at the title card, and it is the same. It's another – one for Naughty Nautical Neighbors has pineapples on it, and so does the Summer Job one. Gary's shell is smaller than usual. Did you take note of that? I didn't.
I couldn't remember if this was the first episode we saw Gary. I couldn't remember if he was in ones that we'd already watched, but I guess not. It would have said something about it.
Yeah, he was in the – he was in Help Wanted. And like
he was? Okay. Yeah. Gotcha.
What else? Oh, okay. The rest of them I don't care about. But anyway, yeah, I really enjoyed this one. I thought it was good. Not well, I had a lot of laughs. I did think it was a very simple plot. I don't know. I'm not expecting like complex plots necessarily.
Yeah.
But it was just very like straightforward. Only those three characters.
Right. Which is what I
Go ahead.
I was gonna say, like that is what most of these early episodes are. Mm. Just like interactions between a couple different characters for sure.
All right, well, are you ready to move on to boating school?
I am. I have this episode blew my mind for a very specific reason that we'll get into.
Okay. Well, it was written by Ennio Teresin, who IMDb makes a point of saying that he's credited as Ennio Teresin Jr. So that's cool. Eric Wise and Mr. Lawrence. So SpongeBob's excited because he's about to take the boating exam at Mrs. Puff's boating school.
Yes.
And there's the he's like talking to, I forget if he's specifically talking to Gary, but he first of all, I have to say, so he like flies out of bed and hits this gigantic calendar.
Yes.
Which I always thought was really cool, and I kind of always wanted a huge calendar like that.
Especially now, we just cannot keep track of the days. It would come in very handy.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
SpongeBob's ready to take this test. He's riding his unicycle down to Mrs. Puff's boating school, and I don't know if you had the same thought that I did. Maybe you didn't. I thought, as soon as I saw this unicycle, of Unicycle Kid.
Oh, of course. At North Penn. Yes. Our high school. Yeah.
There was a kid, for people who aren't us, there was a kid at our high school who I think was a grade below us, and he would ride his unicycle to and from school every day, or at least most days.
Incredibly impressive. Like,
yeah.
Thinking of that now as like, because like I didn't work out in high school, like I didn't know the physical, like limitations of the human body.
Right.
But like thinking about that now, the leg and ab muscles on that kid must have been insane to ride a unicycle for like several blocks. Because like I saw him, blocks away, and he would ride. Like that is insane.
Very impressive, and I could never have done it. I forget. I don't think I ever saw him, because I saw him like all the time. I don't when he was riding a unicycle. I think there might have been one time where we saw him like on the bus, saw him fall, but I can't remember.
Oh yeah, yeah, that would happen a couple times, and it was sad. But hey,
you get back up. He was doing
things that none of us would never even attempt. So gotta give him props.
You dust yourself off and get back up, and you're stronger than ever.
He's a personal to this day, so
when SpongeBob gets to the boating school, he throws his unicycle away in the dumpster because he thinks he's gonna get his license. Another fish runs out and says, "Hey, I just got my license," and SpongeBob says, "Hey, I'm getting mine next," and the guy says, "Hey, I doubt it," which I thought was really funny.
I love that. And knowing that this episode was written in part by Doug Lawrence and that fish is voiced by Doug Lawrence, the between Plankton and now this one, I feel like he, again, not knowing who wrote which lines, I feel like there's a pattern of him writing very vicious digs for the characters that he's going to be voicing.
Yeah. I do. I feel like there is a lot of like the humor, the biting, cynical humor. Yeah. In SpongeBob, and I feel like he would be involved in that.
Oh yeah.
Also, a lot of these fish in Bikini Bottom, like, they're like dicks. Like these are all people or people. These are all fish who like.
Yeah.
I don't know. They just have attitude problems, which is really funny. Yeah. It's like it's kind of like on like how everyone on Seinfeld is just really mean. Like all of the characters. There's like a joke in one of the Seinfeld episodes where I think Elaine says, like, have a nice day or something, and the guy she's talking to says, don't tell me what to do. And it very much reminded me of that.
Yeah, yeah. Do you think Bikini Bottom is, like, the New York City of the sea? Like, just, like, everyone is always in a bad mood, and, you know, taxi driver will curse you out for not tipping him enough, and, you know, you think it's an equivalent, and there's, like, a Midwest sea where, like, everyone's super friendly.
So, we are introduced to Mrs. Puff, who is... a character, an underrated character, I feel like. She's voiced by Mary Jo Catlett.
And...
yes, go ahead.
And this is where my mind was blown. This is the first episode I've watched on Amazon Prime. Mm-hmm. And the characters and their voice actors come up, you know, when you put your mask over it or whatever.
Yes.
Mrs. Puff's first name is Poppy. I had no idea. That is mind-blowing. And I feel like now that I say it out loud, Mr. Krabs might have called her that in the one where they go out. But still, when I read that, I was shocked.
Yeah, I was shocked by that too. It's
Okay, I'm glad I wasn't the only one.
It's not, first of all, I don't think that's a great name.
No, not for a pufferfish or whatever.
But we're introduced to her. SpongeBob gets in the boat, and he has the oral exam first, which he passes in like 30 seconds because he's taken it so many times.
First, I must pass the oral exam. I am confident in my abilities to successfully succeed.
I know. Okay, number one, what is the front of the boat?
The bow.
What is the back?
Stern.
Number three, right is...
starboard, port, skipper, deck, cabin, galley, keel, 1924.
You've passed the oral test. What a surprise.
Now they get into the boat, and then SpongeBob has no idea what he's doing. He ends up flooring the boat into... is it the lighthouse this time, or is it just... is it the schoolhouse?
I think it's the lighthouse both times.
Yeah. It's the lighthouse, and knocks it over. Mrs. Puff inflates, which is a running gag. And then her voice deepens, and she says, oh, SpongeBob, why? And this is history, because in this moment, we get the first ever My Leg from Fred.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, SpongeBob, why?
And wow, I didn't catch that.
And literally as soon as I heard it when I was watching the episode, I was like, this is the first one. Because originally I thought it happened in Help Wanted, and it didn't. But this is the first one.
I love, and actually, now that I think about it, it comes later. I can't remember if it happens now or later, so I'm just going to say it now. When they fly past through the course, there's stands, and there are fish watching. And we talked about this in Ripped Pants. Why are there fish just watching people do everyday activities, like in audiences?
Yeah, Bikini Bottom's a weird place. So SpongeBob's back home, and he's venting to Gary about how he keeps failing this test. And he says he's already taken it 37 times. Gary reminds him that it's 38. And then Patrick contacts SpongeBob through their walkie-talkies.
Yes.
So Patrick instructs him to get out of bed, go to his closet, and then when SpongeBob opens the closet door, Patrick is wearing some of his pants.
For some reason.
For whatever reason. I always, this visual is like burned into my brain just because of the way that SpongeBob, the way that Patrick's legs are sticking out of the pants.
Yeah.
So SpongeBob starts talking to Patrick about how he's afraid to fail this test again. And, Patrick has the brilliant idea to insert the walkie-talkie in SpongeBob's head, so that he can give him the answers the instructions, basically how to drive. He can tell him how to drive while he's taking the test.
Yeah. And once again, we're like oscillating between Patrick being like so unbelievably stupid and like actually coming up with good ideas. Like every other episode, he changes.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I actually kind of appreciate it because it does give him a little bit of depth in these earlier episodes. Whereas once we get into the later seasons, he honestly, even by season three, like it's very like SpongeBob or Patrick is really just the dumb.
Character
all the time.
Absolutely.
But anyway, we're back at the boating school. SpongeBob's sitting inside the boat. Oh, I forgot to mention, with the walkie-talkie in SpongeBob's head, there's an antenna sticking out of it. And so SpongeBob is wearing this hat. It's like this very tall, gray...
Yeah.
Is like a cowboy... Not cowboy hat, really, but it's like
a... Yeah, because it's like curved at the top, so it's not really a cowboy hat, but it kind of is.
Great look.
Why did he just wear his Krusty Krab
I thought hat? The same exact thing.
Yes, thank you.
Literally, I thought the same exact thing. So Mrs. Puff arrives in an ambulance, which honestly should have just stayed there. And SpongeBob gives her an apple. And she gulps it down in one bite, which is the sign of like a really, really defeated person.
Yeah, eating an apple core is definitely that sign.
She gets in the boat and she's pleasantly surprised when SpongeBob starts getting the answers to her questions right. As far as like, oh, she asks what he should do first. He says start the boat, and he's going through all of the steps correctly because, of course, Patrick's giving him all the answers. And when the time comes to drive, he's about to floor it, but then Patrick tells him to use, like, literally his big toe to drive, which comes through his shoe, which is a funny visual. Anyway, things are going really well during this test because, once again, he's cheating. And then we get to this part where he realizes it because Mrs. Puff starts asking about how he is doing this after not being able to ever do it.
There's the finish line. It's unbelievable. You've shown the most spectacular improvement of any student I've ever seen. What's your secret? A little radio in your head? Oh, and under that hat is some kind of a antenna. And some guy miles away from here is giving you all the answers. Oh, yes, but that would be cheating.
Cheating!
So SpongeBob realizes he's cheating, and all hell breaks loose because he lets go of the wheel, and the boat's spinning out of control. Mrs. Puff has this really funny line, which I took note of, when SpongeBob is yelling, I'm cheating, I'm cheating. And she says, cheat that way.
Yeah. A couple of things that she says in there, just like, you know, completely disregarding the fact that he's cheating. She doesn't care at this point.
Well, they were so close to the finish line when SpongeBob let go of the wheel and started like spinning around. It was
right. Like even when he let go of the wheel, they were still like, if he had just drifted far enough that it would have been over.
He says, I'm a cheater, pumpkin eater. It's just, the test basically, it devolves into chaos. And once again, he ends up slamming into the lighthouse.
Which breaks again in half.
Yes.
So they have fantastic masons in Bikini Bottom. They must keep putting this back together.
the turnaround time for the original, I'm sure this has happened probably 38 times before.
Yeah.
But the turnaround time for rebuilding that lighthouse was repairing it was fantastic. So I'm sure, I'm sure it stands proud even until today.
Yeah, and obviously, like, this happens just like a couple of days, you know, like here in the real world, we have to wait what, like 3 weeks between failed tests to get again. But like these 38 tests literally could have been the last 38 days, just based off of like what we see.
So they take Mrs. Puff away to the hospital in an ambulance, and he says, "Don't worry, Mrs. Puff, I'll try harder next semester." Which I don't know, that just struck me as funny.
Yeah.
Mrs. Puff literally screams as she's being driven away in the ambulance because she never wants to see him again. And then SpongeBob is sad for a second because he doesn't have his bike anymore. And then Gary pulls up on his unicycle and they head home. Oh, wait, no, that's not true. They don't head home. The last line of the episode is,
"All right, let's go surprise someone at the hospital."
Yeah. Yes.
I liked this one. I thought it was fine. Like, you know, it was good.
Yeah. Yeah, it was fine. Right. You know, but it established a couple of running gags for the boating school that obviously come up over and over again. Mm-hmm. You know, like the fact that it's like a real school. Like, why does it have semesters?
I know. Boating school,
you know? And also, why does he want a license? He can run and bike everywhere. So why does he need a license?
Yeah, it's very strange. He doesn't need one. And it's,
no. And where would he keep the car?
Exactly. In his garage that's there sometimes.
Yeah, exactly.
SpongePedia trivia time.
Yes.
I already said this is the first time Fred yells "my leg," which I immediately took note of.
Yeah.
Mrs. Puff. I don't care about this one. So when Mrs. Puff gets back in the boat, there are two holes in her helmet, but when SpongeBob is driving the boat, there are three. Didn't notice it, but if they pointed it out, I'm sure it has to be true.
Where would the third one even be?
I don't even know.
It's like there's two on either side of her helmet, but like where?
I know.
Where would you put the third one? Is this another turtle incident?
I think it might be. A Lego set based on this episode was released in 2007.
Interesting.
Yeah, I feel like that sounds true, because I feel like it would probably be like a boat with like a lighthouse or something.
Yeah.
That sounds familiar.
Yeah, and me and my brothers were especially my brothers, were really into Legos when they were little. But we never got like SpongeBob ones. You know?
Yeah.
And like that never, I don't think, ever really caught on as much, which is a shame because there's a lot of funny things. Like imagine having like a cool like tree dome in Legos. That would be awesome.
Or like a Krusty Krab.
Yeah, right.
This is the first episode to have a montage when SpongeBob is driving successfully.
Interesting. Which
I feel like that is, I think Help Wanted might count as a montage.
Yeah, I'm checking my notes now for the last couple episodes, and I'm trying to remember.
I think Help Wanted. I don't know if it's the same exact formatting, but I feel like that counts as a montage. So I'm gonna call fake on that.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
I'm not even gonna read this last one because it's so it's not trivia. It's not a goof, and it's so stupid that I don't even want to read it. But okay. Yeah, I enjoyed this one. I thought it was fine. I thought that Naughty Nautical Neighbors was the better segment of the two.
Yeah, I would agree with that. There were some, you know, very memorable lines from Boating School, like the testing.
Yes.
You know, that.
Go ahead. Absolutely one of the funniest part. I think that was my biggest laugh of the episode.
Testing! Do you read?
Sponge to Pat, I read you loud and clear. Over.
And actually, something you didn't bring up that now I'm just remembering is, as SpongeBob is going through the course very well, and that is kind of the montage, I guess, of this.
Yes.
And and they're cutting back to Patrick. He's putting on SpongeBob's pants again.
He is. I think these
2 seconds establish that Patrick is a freak. It's super weird.
It is very odd. And he's going through his fridge. He's like,
yeah.
Oh, and his diary. He reads his diary.
Yes, he does. Yeah. Yeah.
No respect.
And of course. Oh, I know. The act natural part, and then SpongeBob jumps out and starts eating grass.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there are some really funny things going on here.
Yeah. I love, another thing that, goes back and forth between episodes is, their knowledge of land creatures. Because even in Naughty Nautical Neighbors, at the beginning, they reference a turkey. And I forget which one of them says, I don't even know what that is. And now, here, they're clearly a cow. Mm-hmm. It's and, sometimes they know exactly what a squirrel is. SpongeBob pulls out his book and knows what a squirrel is. And other times, they have no idea what land creatures are.
Yeah, there's always some selective knowledge happening, I feel like. Well, do you have anything else to add before we leave?
I don't think so. I'm really enjoying this so far, rewatching all of these.
Me too.
Again, SpongeBob's on all the time in my house because my nephew, is around. But these early episodes, getting a chance to rewatch them and really, dive into them with a more, adult which is subjective, I guess, when you're talking about me, viewpoint. It's definitely interesting.
Yeah, I agree. I'm really enjoying, because some of these, I feel like I just gravitate toward my favorite episodes. And honestly, a lot of my favorite episodes are not in, I forget how many of these episodes in season one are really, really laugh out loud funny.
Yes,
it's good to get a chance to go back and see some of these gems.
Yeah.
All right. Well, until next time, this has been Every 11 Minutes. And remember to wash your hands. Patrick,
yes.
I'm talking to you.